Hello, friends. This is Michael Tomlinson, Chief Operating Officer of Dr. James Dobson's Family Tuck. As we look forward with anticipation to the new year, I trust you and your family will be encouraged and energized by the promise of Isaiah 40:31, which says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint." God bless you, and Happy New Year.
Today on Family Talk.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and today we're going to conclude our Best of the Best broadcast series featured on the most popular programs of 2015. We'll end the series and the year with part two of my dad's interview with Dr. Robert Jeffress. They're discussing his book, Countdown to the Apocalypse. And if you missed yesterday's program, I urge you to download it and get caught up. Let me say up front, though, that Dr. Jeffress is not predicting a date for the end of the world. Instead, he's showing how current events, such as the Ebola virus, recent terrorist attacks, and global politics, seem to align with biblical prophecy of the end times. Okay, I can't take any more time away from this program that's packed with fascinating insights from one of our most trusted Christian leaders today. So here now is my dad, Dr. James Dobson, with Dr. Jeffress on today's edition of Family Talk.
Well, the conversation that we had together last time was fascinating to me. It was about your book, which was released yesterday across the country. It's called Countdown to the Apocalypse, and the subtitle is Why ISIS and Ebola Are Only the Beginning, by Dr. Robert Jeffress. And there was so much for us to talk about there, and we want to pick right up where we were last time. We are in moral decay in the West, in America and other places, aren't we? Have you in your lifetime ever seen anything like what's taking place?
No. In fact, I quote you, Dr. Dobson, in the first chapter about talking about Robert Bork's comment about we're slouching toward Gomorrah. And that's exactly what is happening right now. And by the way, this is one of the three signs I focus on that the Bible says will precede the return of Jesus Christ. These signs, like moral decay, have been around forever, but Jesus said, like labor pains, they will increase in both intensity and frequency. And we're sure seeing that in the rapid decay of morality in our country. In 2 Timothy 3:1, Paul says, in the last days, there will be terrible times. And that Greek word terrible means without restraint. And that's what we're seeing morally. There is no restraint. I quote in the book Dr. Carl Zimmerman in 1947, who indicated 11 signs or symptoms that led to the decay of the Roman and Greek civilization. No-fault divorce. The birth dearth, that is, a decreased respect for parenthood and parents, meaningless marriage rites and ceremonies, defamation of past national heroes, acceptance of alternative marriage forms, that's in 1947, widespread attitudes of feminism, narcissism, and hedonism, propagation of anti-family sentiment, the acceptance of most forms of adultery, rebellious children, increased juvenile delinquency, common acceptance of all forms of sexual perversion. Now, that was written in 1947 about the Roman and Greek empires. This is certainly a mirror of what's happening today.
And it's what the Apostle Paul wrote about in Romans 1, where he listed all of these, many of these same sins and evidences of moral decay. And the last item on that list was what? I'm going to put you on the spot. But
the common acceptance of all sexual perversion.
Especially lesbianism.
Yes.
That was the last one. And at that point, Paul wrote, God gave them up to a reprobate mind.
Yes.
And are we walking that same path today?
Well, we are. And again, we are now celebrating what God has condemned. And it's not because God hates homosexuals. He doesn't hate homosexuals.
Nor do we.
God is the one who created sex. You know, Dr. Dobson, I tell my church, just think about it. God sat up in heaven with a sketch pad and said, wouldn't it be fun if men and women did this? And he came up with the idea of sex. And then he created the apparatus for us to enjoy the sexual relationship that he created. But he gave some instructions, some directions, and said it should be between one man and one woman in the security of a marriage relationship. God created sex. He knows how it operates best, and it's within the marriage relationship between a man and a woman.
Well, we started last time talking about the meaning of the apocalypse. Would you describe that again? What does that mean? What's the Bible mean when it says there's going to be this terrible time coming?
Actually, the word apocalypsis means the unveiling. It's about the unveiling of the glorified Jesus Christ when he returns. But the Bible also says we're on a countdown clock. Some things are going to happen before that new world is given birth to that Christ will usher in. And there are going to be terrible times. And in my book, I focus on three of these signs: the rise of radical Islam, the persecution of Christians globally, and then the increase in moral disorder that we've been talking about. All of these things, Jesus said, will precede the return of Christ. Now, Dr. Dobson, I know some people are skeptical because they've heard this for so long and they think, oh, I just can't go there. But you know, it's interesting to me, in Matthew 24 to 25, Jesus talked about the end times. He gave a detailed preview of what the end times were going to look like. And unless you believe Jesus was just off his meds that day, you have to take seriously what he was saying about the end times. I know people who say, well, I believe on the Sermon on the Mount. Well, you can't be intellectually honest and say, I accept Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. I just reject what he said on the Mount of Olives about the end times. You have to take all of it, and he did talk about the end times.
What will the world be like in that time that is talked about many places in the Scripture? Jesus talked about it.
Well, one of the things that's going to happen is there is going to be a worldwide dictator that we commonly call the Antichrist, and he will persecute anyone who does not worship him, Revelation 13 says. John says in Revelation 20, verse 4, that he saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because they would not submit to the Antichrist. You know, people used to read the book of Revelation and say, beheaded, that's an arcane form of punishment. Why would that occur in the future? And yet right now we're seeing beheading is the preferred method of execution by Islamic terrorists. I think there is every reason to believe, as I explain in my book, that this final world dictator will be inspired by Islam. I believe that he will behead, as we're seeing right now, just not men and women, but boys and girls who refuse to convert to Islam. We're seeing that played out right now. And I think, Dr. Dobson, one of the dangers of what we're seeing right now is we're becoming desensitized to it. You know, one of the questions I've often had is, how will the Antichrist be able to persecute Christians and there'll be no uprising against it? Well, I think right now, we're seeing our president talk about extremism. He doesn't talk about radical Islam. He talks about extremism.
He won't mention it.
No, he wants to have a conference on extremism. Well, many people believe that people like you and I, Dr. Dobson, are extremists.
Our military, from their perspective.
From their perspective. The U.S. military right now has classified certain Christian organizations as hate organizations because they believe what you and I do. I think the ground is being laid right now for the worldwide persecution of Christians, even in America.
What else do we know about the Antichrist? Do we know where he will come from or what his characteristics will be? How does he gain worldwide power?
That is what is so fascinating. He is able to usurp worldwide power without any military campaign whatsoever. Now, this isn't the word of God. It's the word of Robert here. But I believe it's based on Scripture. I personally believe in what we call the rapture of the church. I think we are going to suffer, no doubt about it, but before this final 7 years, I believe Christians get taken away, and I think that disappearance of millions of Christians will coincide with some great worldwide catastrophe that will be used to explain the disappearance of believers. And I believe in that catastrophe, there will be a worldwide clamoring for some kind of leader who will lead the world out of that catastrophe. And that person is going to be the Antichrist talked about in Daniel chapter 7 and Revelation 13.
I've heard people speculate that he comes from the Middle East. He comes from Rome. I've heard different speculations. We don't really know where
he was. It says he comes out of the sea. And many times in the book of Revelation, the sea means the political unrest of the time. We don't know a lot about him, but interestingly, Daniel 7:25 says one of the things he will do is he will seek to change the most basic laws of humanity. And we're seeing that happen right now. I made some news last year when I said that I believe that President Obama was paving the way for the rule of the Antichrist. Now, I did not say that Obama was the Antichrist. Yeah. In fact, I know he's not the Antichrist. And one reason I know that is the Antichrist is going to have higher poll numbers than the president has. But I believe what he is doing, our current president, is preparing the way. People are getting used to the idea of governmental overreach. And I believe that's why the final dictator, whether he comes in 5 years or 500 years, he'll be able to rule without any revolution whatsoever.
Now, on the cover of your book, you refer to Ebola.
Right.
What in the world does that have to do with the apocalypse?
Well, Jesus said in Luke 21, verse 11, that there'll be famines and earthquakes and pestilence in the last days. And the word pestilence refers to the outbreak of diseases, whether it's Ebola or anthrax or smallpox, whatever it is. A Japanese cult tried to go to Africa to obtain Ebola and use it as a weapon. They ended up with sarin gas instead. And I think what we've seen, this worldwide outbreak of Ebola, perhaps is just a harbinger of what's going to happen in the last days.
What other things are going to occur during that terrible time?
One thing that the Bible talks about is the worldwide persecution of Christians. Now, again, this is something that has been prevalent since the early church, but there were more martyrs for Christianity in the 20th century than all the other centuries combined. We're seeing the persecution increase in intensity as well as frequency. Open Doors just released a study that said there has been more persecution last year than the last 20 years around the world. Look at what ISIS is doing as they go into Iraq. They're capturing cities like Mosul. They're turning what used to be Christian churches into torture chambers. We're seeing this all around. We think about last year, the Islamic terrorist group Boko Haram that kidnapped the 276 Nigerian schoolgirls. We don't know what happened to most of those girls. Are they being sold into sex slavery? Are they having bombs tied to their backs and being used as weapons? You know, for a while, Dr. Dobson, there was so much concern among Christians about that, and now we've pretty much forgotten about
that. And you know, it's almost Nazi-esque. It's almost like the things that occurred in the Second World War. I mean, beheading children. Are you kidding me?
ISIS,
I mean, how horrible is that?
ISIS is the new Nazi regime. You know, Prime Minister Netanyahu made this comparison. He said the Nazis were searching for the master race. Now, Islam is trying to become the master faith. And the two are very, very similar. And I believe they're not going to stop until the Lord returns.
You mentioned President Obama a few minutes ago. In his State of the Union address, he lauded abortion. I mean, and he always has. He's been pro-abortion since before he broke on the scene. In fact, that shows up in your book.
Yes.
What is the connection there?
President Obama, by his own admission, is the most pro-abortion president in history. He bragged about his 100% rating from NARAL, and he planned to push abortion, and he's been very, very successful with that. I think the bigger implication is we are living in a culture that has become desensitized to death. I mean, how can you overlook the death of 54 million children who have been butchered in the womb since Roe v. Wade, which, you know, The genesis of that was in our own city of Dallas. We recently had a pro-life rally in front of the steps of the courthouse where Roe v. Wade was born, unfortunately. But you can't kill 54 million children without great spiritual ramifications and physical ramifications. You know, Dr. Dobson, one study said that if those 54 million children who had been killed since Roe v. Wade, if they had been allowed to live and become productive, tax-paying citizens, it would have added anywhere from $35 to $70 trillion to our gross national product since 1973. There'd be no Social Security crisis or Medicare crisis if those children had been allowed to live. That is just one of God's judgment, I think, against our country for murdering 20% of its population.
Yeah, and think of how many were never born because these babies yes. were not allowed to grow up and have children. So, Dr. Jeffress, let's turn now to what this means for the Christian.
Yes.
I mean, what should we be thinking and doing? These are horrible things that you and I have been talking about in these 2 days.
That's right.
And I now, are we to be depressed? Do we go off in a cave somewhere?
A.W. Tozer said, "A scared world needs a courageous church." And I want our listeners to understand this book, Countdown to the Apocalypse, yes, talks about the signs of the time, but we talk about also what we as Christians ought to be doing. And we ought to be hopeful because of what is about to happen. Jesus said, "When you see these things take place, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh." And I believe
how
we're not—
How can you put those two things together?
Well, remember, the night is darkest just before the dawn. And I believe all of these things are simply the preamble to the return of Christ. And I believe the Bible says we need to be like the sons of Issachar, 1 Chronicles 12:32. It says they understood their times and they knew what to do. Yes, we need to understand the signs of the time, but like Paul said, we need to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord.
And by all means, save some.
That's right.
That's what Paul wrote.
That's right. And there's never been a greater opportunity for us to share the light of Christ than in these darkening days. There's never been a better time for Family Talk or First Baptist Dallas or all these other wonderful Christian organizations to share the light of Christ. But I do believe we're not to be ignorant of what's happening in our society. We need to understand that the end very well may be near. And again, for those skeptics out there, whether or not the end of the world is near, the end of our world is near. We only have a little bit of time God has left us here on earth before we go to meet Him. We need to spend our time sharing the message of Christ.
Mm. People are interested in this subject, aren't they?
They are fascinating. Of all of the messages we have most requested on our broadcast ministry, Pathway to Victory, it's always about the end times. Because, Dr. Dobson, people sense something big is about to happen.
They do.
You know, Fox News did a poll and asked people to describe the phrase that best describes what's happening in our world today. The top response was "to hell in a handbasket." That's never been used in a poll before, but that's how people are feeling the world's direction is going. 47% of Americans, according to Pew Research, 47% believe the world is going to end in the next 40 years. I believe, again, this is just one of those birth pangs that is going to precede the return of Christ.
Hmm. We had a minister on the program several years ago who talked about that scripture in Romans 1 and about God giving them up.
Yes.
To be fair to him, I should say that he added the phrase that all throughout scripture there are examples of those who just refuse to believe and refuse to do what was right, Saul and others, and God gave him up. Didn't he say at one time to Samuel, "I would not that you even pray for him"?
Yeah, and I believe no nation that outlaws the mention of God in the public square, that sanctions immorality like we have, that allows the killing of the unborn, no nation can recover from that. God is not partial to America.
Yeah.
He doesn't give America a pass on these things. God says, "I will bless any nation that reverences me, and I will reject any nation that rejects me." We've rejected God.
The future does look very bleak. you know, when people say God's in control and he will do what he'll do and in the end's going to turn out right. Yeah, it was true in 1939 in Nazi Germany too. There may be a lot of tribulation before the tribulation.
I think the real dilemma for evangelical Christians is if all of these terrible things are going to usher in the coming of Christ, why do anything? Why try to stop it? I think the Bible says we do need to push back against evil. Even though something is inevitable doesn't mean it's imminent. I look at my own life. I know I'm going to die one day, but I still go to the doctor. I still exercise. Yeah. I try to eat what's right. It's not because I'm fearful of dying, but I want to have as long as possible to fulfill the ministry God's given me. As Americans, I believe we ought to push back against this tide of immorality, not because we're scared. We're welcoming the return of Christ, but we want to have an opportunity to share the gospel as long as we can before this nation implodes.
Hmm. Have you seen the imploding as it affects the church? You and I were talking about this at lunch, and you mentioned that you've been picketed and the evidences of anger toward you, and most conservative churches have experienced that one way or the other.
And I think what we're experiencing now is mild, certainly compared to what churches around the world are experiencing, our Christian brethren around the world. But I think it's also mild to what we are going to experience in the future. I very much believe that if the Supreme Court legalizes same-sex marriage, and I believe they will, I believe the first domino to fall will be we were going to lose our tax-exempt status. Now, that's not the worst thing that could happen, but I think it will certainly help separate the wheat from the tares, even among local churches, about who's faithful and who's not going to be faithful. I think that will be just the beginning. Again, liberals are not going to be satisfied with the live and let live approach. They are not going to rest until they force people like you and me to celebrate their perversion.
Well, that's what I appreciate about you, and I'm trying to do it too, where truth is truth, and I'm not going to edit it, and I'm not going to back off from it, and it may have severe personal consequences. I'm aware of that. You mentioned that you're going to die. Well, I'm probably going to die sooner than you. You never know that, but I'm older than you, and I know I'm going to be standing before Christ before very long, and I don't want to be embarrassed in that moment.
No.
I don't want him to say, I gave you everything you needed to get the message out, and you compromised. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. And I pray that I will have the courage to do what's right when that moment occurs.
Well, you've made a habit of it. You've practiced that, so it comes naturally for you. And I just think to all of those who are listening right now to this broadcast, every person, not just pastors and broadcasters like yourself, every Christian is going to have to make that choice. And I think about Jesus' words, do not fear those who can only kill the body. Fear the one who is able to destroy both the body and the spirit. And the only one who can do that is God. I suppose my favorite scripture passage is 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10. We have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him.
Yeah.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may be rewarded for what we've done in the body, whether it be good or worthless. We're all going to stand before Christ, Dr. Dobson, and give an account, not to other people, but to him for what we've done.
Mm.
Somebody who said, you know, when you're going through the fiery furnace of trial, remember, God has his eye on the clock and he has his hand on the thermostat. He knows how long and how much. And I would say that to our listeners. We're all going to go through a time of persecution, I believe. That's why I wrote Countdown to the Apocalypse. But God hasn't abandoned us. He knows exactly how long and how much.
The title of the book, again, is Countdown to the Apocalypse, Why ISIS and Ebola Are Only the Beginning. God's blessings to you, sir. Thanks for flying to Colorado Springs. I hope you have a safe trip home.
Thanks for the invitation.
We've been listening to the conclusion of our interview with Dr. Robert Jeffress here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, and I can't think of a better message to end our broadcast year. This has been a year of violence and pestilence and loss of moral ground. But as Dr. Jeffress said, there's never been a better time for God's message, because a hurting world needs a strong church and strong ministers and strong believers. The end may be inevitable, but that doesn't mean it's imminent. So believers should invest whatever time they have left sharing the Word of God. All of us here at Family Talk are committed to doing that, and we would be honored if you'd join us. With your support, we can continue to be a strong, steady voice for biblical truth. So pray for our steadfast commitment and prayerfully consider how you might support us financially today. It is the last day, in fact, it's the last hours of our matching grant, when whatever you give will be doubled dollar for dollar, and it will allow us to take God's word twice as far. So call us at 877-732-6825. Even at this late hour, we're still here, ready to take your phone calls, whether it's for a donation or a prayer request. You can also give online at drjamesdobson.org. Again, thank you in advance for praying for us, praying with us, and for your financial support. This is Ryan Dobson saying Happy New Year, God bless, and thank you for sharing 2015 with all of us here at Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. And here's to a great 2016.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.